Hi, I'm Ian Lee Keys, and you're listening to Science 101, making science approachable, understandable, and relevant to everyday life. And of course, my legendary co-host, the author of The Hindus Theory of Conscious Growth, none other than Mr. Mark L. Christensen.
Thank you, Daniel. Good to be here again. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mark, for being my co-host on Science 101. And for sure, you prepared something for us.
Yes.
Wow.
Today we're going to talk about the technium.
Ooh.
Yes, what is technium? Figure out what that's all about.
What is all about? Mr. Mark?
Yeah, I was doing my research on my book, Fungus Theory, I stumbled across a gentleman named Kevin Kelly who wrote the technium, or came up with the concept, and it fits fungus theory very well because what it basically is, it's an extension of biology. Technology itself is an extension from biology because it simply wouldn't exist if it weren't for biology. So you could look at it like a byproduct or an extension. And what Kevin has put together here is that it exhibits self-organization, adaptation, and increasing in complexity. The same properties as biological evolution itself, if you can think about it right. It's a continuous lineage of biology. And in the end, if biology were to survive the end of its terrestrial time zone or that window, it would be because of this technology, the technium itself. And so it really kind of is still fungus. The way that it behaves, it doesn't have a control center as far as technology. It's so massive, it's so spread out, and so many bits and pieces that all help technology grow and proceed into what it is today came from billions of bits. So it doesn't have a control center, and it's kind of a continuation of mycelia, and it kind of actually spreads like mycelia. So that's the really the wonder of technology and the technium itself. It layers outsource of cognition too. It's an externalization of cognition. So if you were to develop, say, a toaster or a new way to blend something, what you're exhibiting is an internal on the outside. So it was internal and now it's on the outside. So it's an externalization of something that you're cognitive of. And that's another thing about it being a growth of biology. It's a strange way to look at it, but it is. And it's really interesting to know that it's not accidental, but it grows like everything else on the earth, like all the plants, all the other animal life forms. In fact, it's probably an evolutionary continuation of all of evolution. So what does that mean? Because for me, it kind of draws a picture. It draws a picture of an intent to do it. And when you kind of can see the overall plane of biology growing from mycelia or bacteria, the mycelia, and then all plant and animal life, then humans, and then in the end, the technological growth process, the technium, it's describing something. It's showing us something. It's showing that there may be an intent to do this. And it's showing that if there's an intent to do it, someone who arranged it intended to do it. So who is that? And, we'll never know for sure, which is good. But if you look at the whole picture, you can't deny the fact that somebody's intending to grow all this and to end up being the technology that would actually be the extension that would save humanity from the end of Earth, you know, and that sweeping big picture kind of makes sense. What else is there in the future? You know, we do know that the Earth ends, and another way of looking at it is that technology is the next evolutionary layer for the spore phase. So in fungus theory, the spore phase is the evolved human being capable of this technology and then building technology to save itself from the end of its biosphere, Earth in this case. And that is spore phase for the entire fungus that made everything that you're a big part of. That's one way of looking at it. And it's a planetary escape and continuation. And the technium is technically the vehicle for dysphoria. And dysphoria is the spores releasing from their origin, place of origin, and then escaping out someplace else. So this is a necessary process and one that looks fairly intended on as a process that you're definitely a part of. And I think it's healthy to understand something complete about ourselves as humans and yourself. You know, why are you here? It's kind of the answer to why humans are here. It's forensic. It's not a fantasy. Organic life till today, where humans are building the technology, we know how that evolved into being. So with that being a fact and evidence, we can kind of project into the future and realize what the outcome actually is. And that's the big picture. And I talked about the big picture before. But technology is really the end-all answer to why we're here and why we have to do this ourselves as humans, and why we can't really get any help. And I always thought of help as being kind of a destructive quality to the growth process. And since technology is built in layers and it earned layers, as a matter of fact, what I mean by earned layers is that you can't really build an airplane without first building a car. Yeah, they both kind of happened at the same time, but one came before the other. In fact, the airplane first flew with a car engine. So that's what I mean by layers. So you have to build a car, then an airplane, and then maybe a flying saucer eventually. But these layers of technology have to be earned so that in the end, meaning the end of our time here on Earth, when we eventually escape in dysphoria with our technology, we will have earned every bit of it and understand it so we can survive with it post-terrestrial Earth. This is very important. So in other words, if an alien came down and gave us a flying saucer and we tried to reverse engineer it, it wouldn't help us as much. This is just what I think. A little bit maybe, but really you have to earn these layers of technology, which is the technium, to help us evolve to another environment when we have to. Does any of this ring a bell to you, Daniel?
Indeed, Mr. Mark, I love that. I like that idea. But if the technium evolves a living organism, what needs or drives might be developing over time? It's like a fungus theory.
Ask that one more time, because I didn't hear you quite the whole time.
Yes, if the technium evolves like living organisms, what needs or drives might be developing over time? what are the ingredients, what are the things that they need to make this technium more, aggressive.
That's the thing is, that's the thing about understanding the technium is that it really isn't something that we're doing on purpose. See, there's no control center. It is evolution itself, and evolution can't evolve faster or slower for one reason or another. It's at its own growth pace biologically. So there's nothing you and I can do to increase the growth of the technium because, once again, the growth of it is on layers. So we're at airplanes and rockets, but we're not at flying saucer. So there's nothing you can do to make a flying saucer exist. And we're talking about billions of bits that add into this growth of technology. It could be a lone scientist in a garage experimenting with some chemicals, and then another guy finds another way to tighten a bolt and make a bolt itself lighter and stronger. And plastics, unbelievable how plastics have really changed things, and because of NASA, really. All of these things come together to increase technology at whatever layer it's at. And then those technologies then again cascade out and develop more billions of bits of technology, find their way into each innovation to find the next layer of technology. So there really isn't, it's its own organism, just finding its way to survival through the massive bits of all the information that gets collected and gets used for innovation. So I don't think there's any one thing you and I could do other than have a podcast about it.
Definitely. And to spread the word.
Spread the word. Thank you.
Spread the word. Just like the fungus theory. So, do you think, Mr. Mark, does the technium have its own form of intelligence emerging from the network of machines, software, or human interaction?
Yes. So, what was the question again? Sorry.
Yes. So, does the technium have its own form of intelligence, just like AI? Emerging
technology?
From network of machines, or software, or human interaction, don't you think it will evolve?
It's hard to say what it will evolve into, but it's always evolution really is kind of a used term. So if you want to look at evolution as biology reproducing and adapting to a new environment over and over again. So a biology reproduces first, and then that new reproduction is adapting to a new environment. And it's incremental and slightly each day, but each day the environment is changing. So when biology is reproduced into that new environment, it's always adapting. And that really is evolution. That's how evolving things really happen. So with technology, as we, first of all, reproduce biologically, and as the environment changes, the technologies that we have previously owned will be the next launch pad for adaptation in the ever-changing environment. And as we know that there was, 250 million years ago, there was a lot more oxygen, a lot more plant life than there is today. So we know that in 250 million years from today, things are going to change quite a bit, at least that amount, which was enormous. So each time biology reproduces, it's adapting to that new environment. It's just so slow and incremental that you can't see it, which is really important psychologically. And I touch base on this in my psychology chapter, that it's important that you don't discover this cognitively as a human, because Well, I'll just touch on it for a second. If you realized you were constantly in evolution, like if you could watch your fingernails grow or watch your hair grow, you would never do anything. You would never act because you knew the end was, you're constantly reminded that the end of your own life is coming. So why do anything? So this cognitive dissonance about the fact that you are literally evolving has to be forgotten about so that you can get to work. So you can take these technologies, put them together, and adapt to the environment that you're in today. And then reproduce, hopefully. Hopefully it's male and female reproduction, or not. Mm-hmm. But at least reproducing that new cognition, that new cognitive brain is going to see the past, know where it's at, and then adapt to its current place, which literally is the future.
Well said, well said, Mr. Mark. Certainly something we're looking forward for, that tech theorem. So are innovations inevitable with the technique? Meaning that if one person did not invent something, someone else would have. What do you think?
Yes, yes. Because we really live in a collective conscious, we don't really live in our own singular consciousness because we adapt to the world around us. And that's been going on for thousands of years. So the society which we live in is a collective conscious. So I may own an idea first, but I won't own the idea second. Somebody else will get that idea. And the patent office is a great example of this. And the patent office knows. And there's something about the controllers of the world that we live in today, whether it's the Jewish world, the Rockefellers, or they know that humanity is going to invent everything. So it's no surprise to them. See, it's no surprise to them that AI came around. They're just waiting for it. And there's some truth to that. And I don't know what the grand understanding of that is, because I'm not a Rockefeller, but it sure is amazing to be able to make that understanding that humanity is a system that's going to produce constantly. So to answer your question directly, if you don't come up with it first, somebody else is going to. And if that person doesn't act on it, somebody else will. And that's what the patent office is really all about, to assure that things get invented, and the copyright office as well.
It literally
is the forefront of the growth of all of this, the growth of humanity and technology. It's pretty fascinating when you can finally see it working like a machine.
Certainly. And Professor Mark,
yes.
Could the technium ever reach a point where it becomes a self-sustaining or requiring minimal human input to evolve further?
Well, because the environment we're constantly adapting to governs that, because really if the environment didn't change, we would just remain exactly the same. But it is changing constantly. So that's the governor right there. And that's also the control mechanism. Without getting lost in my answer here, you want to know, what was it again, really, really quickly, Daniel?
I want to know if technium can do it itself without the interruption of a human being. Will it evolve by themselves?
Yeah, it is actually evolving by itself. There's nothing controlling it. It's the same as watching mycelia grow in the ground. If it can be fed, it's just going to keep growing and bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you want to watch if you want to get a good visual of how all of technology grows, just watch some high-speed photography of mycelia growing. And then you got to get an idea of just how vast it all works together, and it's out of control on its own. You know, we live in egos. You know, we all have to have an ego, which is really great. But it's very egotistically shrinking to realize that, no, we're on an automatic chemical reaction here, developing technology. And to be a part of it is very humanly inspiring, I think, if you could look at it that way. You know, we do have our spikes, you know, like Einstein and Tesla, Galileo, Freud, you know, all these people are spikes because they're critical thinkers in their area, and they've been able to excel in their areas as spikes that help lift up consciousness to the next layer. Without them, we probably wouldn't be growing at all. Well, so the leaders of the world are really scientists. And if I may add here, it's really weird how all of a sudden, just the last couple of years, we're missing about 20. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Turn my.
I just hear a big rumbling sound. There, it's gone now. Okay.
Okay.
But we're missing some high-end nuclear scientists. It's really weird. They're thinking that it's an outside source to undermine the growth of U.S. military weaponry. So whoever we're at war with has been able to, this is what they're thinking, I don't know this for sure, but whoever we're at war with is doing this one at a time. They're getting rid of our, you know, effective scientists that are really the leading in technology for warfare. It's bizarre. It's happening. And so to answer your question, maybe you can stunt the growth of technology, huh?
Mm.
Maybe that's what's going on. They're stunting the growth of it. Yeah, didn't think of that, but that answers your question a little bit, doesn't it?
Indeed, yeah. Mr. Mark, indeed. So, What role does failure play in the evolution of tech? And how does it learn from mistakes?
Failure is our markers in the course. Otherwise, you don't have any course. You don't know which course to take, so... Failure is the most important ingredient because, first of all, you learn tolerances, you learn strengths, weaknesses, and you can't do that with without your technology failing. It's like stress testing and all that stuff. All that stuff is vitally important. And so I would say failure is number one. You should head toward your failures as fast as you can. If you're developing technologies or theories, because you want to get to the end results as fast as you can. It's pretty important.
Super. Important indeed. And Mr. Mark, one more question. I think this will be our last question. Okay. If the titanium continues expanding, this light one, black particle, the universe expanding, what might be its long-term impact on freedom, creativity, and human imagination?
Well, I just saw a movie last night called Project Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm. We did a review.
Yeah, with Ryan Gosling.
Movie 101.
Oh, you did great. Yeah. It's made for kids, which I really enjoyed. It's made for, you know, kids pretty much. There's no adult themes in it at all. And it's always great to see what other beings are doing with their technology. And there's a an example of that. And it's pretty surprising to see what's possible out there, what other life forms are doing as far as technology. But the technium is, it just describes what, you know, this is almost like a self-growing animal process. It's its own animal. And, you know, we do know that the earth ends one day, and hopefully we can, you know, meet those technical evacuation standards before it's too late. That's one thing that's coming.
Yeah.
And the technium is going to get us there. And then post-Earth, you can only imagine what it would take to continue that technology. And in fungus theory, I call it ESS, which is eternal self-sufficiency before you leave Earth. Because I don't know at what plane you're going to develop technologies in space, you know, in your big mothership or another planet. But you kind of have to reach a guarantee that you're going to be able to survive eternally before you even leave. So those are some big things we have to achieve technologically. And so technically there is no technium in a way. It's kind of just an extension of biology. So the technium is not separate from biology. It is biology continuing its evolution through us. And like fungus releases spores, humanity is using technology to carry life beyond the limits of Earth. Fucking close with that.
Well said, Mr. Mark. Challenge us to think technology, isolated tools, but as a pets evolving ecosystem on the growth, easily shape the direction field. Just like
very
the
well
book
said.
Of Mr. Marr, A Fungus Theory of Conscious Growth.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. Thank you, Daniel. That's good input there.
Indeed. So, Mr. Marr, can you please invite our listeners to support Fungus Theory.
Yes. Oh, yes. You can see my book. There's my book right here. Fungus Theory of Conscious Growth. And you can find it at Amazon. It has five major chapters: cosmology, biology, evolution, technology, and psychology. And each one of those chapters explain the fungus theory through each one of those major areas of science. And I hope you get a chance to read it.
Well said, Mr. Mark. Yes, people, let's support Mr. Mark Al Christensen, because if you support him, for some more and more, the theory of consciousness, conscious growth will rise. So, Mr. Mark, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you again, Daniel. We'll see you next time.
Psychology 101 after this, people. Keep it serious. Mark, people, see you soon.